Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
But we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an occasion where resolves are compelled with Apostle Ephra Emmanuel. As we behold God's Word today, we become the true reflection of His Word. You will be blessed.
Hallelujah. You know, it was Miles Moro that said, when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. It's important that we reiterate the reason for this convergence. It's not a moment of spiritual excitement. We're not gathered because a man of God came in. We're not doing this, you know, because we needed to look into other mysteries of the kingdom. There is a particular level of transformation we insist must happen in our life. And if that is not in our life, the conference is a waste. It is to this end that we gather, so that after conferences like this, there can be real proofs in our lives that we evolved, that we moved, that there was a transfiguration, that somebody painted a dimension of God that afforded us sufficient transformation, so that as we are beholding the things like an artist, he will be painting God, and you see that thing, you become what you have beheld. Today, you know, it is important that we set our hearts aright, and it is important we also realize what we are up against. There are two battles everybody will have to confront if we would honor the ordinations of God for our life. One is inherent, so it came with you. Every man will have to partake of that one. It is the tendencies, it is the proclivities of the flesh. Every human being will war. Now, every flesh looks the same, but it's not the same in its peculiar operation. According to the kind of infirmity and iniquity that has prospered in a particular bloodline for a long time, the flesh of that particular lineage have their own unique inclination. So if you look at people carefully, you will see that people have particular compromise that prevails over particular families. So if there are people who are humanizers from one generation to another, it will not be hard to be a humanizer when you open your eye in that family, because the normal inclination of the flesh, the flesh had had good mentorship along that path for a while. When you have a family of thieves, the devil will not labor much to bring you into that same corridor. This one is without the contribution of Adam. It's the labor of several men. This one passed the baton to another. So before you even answer the ordination of God, you will need to undo many things that are the product of the labor of many ancestors. This is why when I was sharing earlier, your righteousness is not for you alone. Your seed will benefit from righteousness too. The Bible says, since I was small, now I am old, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. So he is the righteous, but there is something about him that flows to his seed. He says, nor his seed beg for bread. Now we give birth to children with strange proclivity. Where is he learning it from? Nobody is asking. We are bringing up children that even the parents are wondering, where is this kind of appetite coming from? It is because tendencies are passing from one child. If you are not careful, it will reach a point to become a stronghold. When that spirit masters that lineage for a long time, passing from one era to another, it will reach a point, it will just be depravity. There's only one place we can declare the counsel of God that He has given to us, and the conditions of God remains the same. In Joel chapter 2, he says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm upon my holy mountain. You can't blow that trumpet in a valley. You can't blow it in anywhere. There is a location where the trumpet must be blown. And if you must bring an alarm to your generation, there is a point you must stand to sound that alarm. He says, sound it upon my holy mountain. The problem is, there are too many people trying to make efforts in the valley. And there is only one place a trumpet must be blown from. It is upon the holy mountains. It is this same thing, the same message, the same song. You will sing it. You will sing it in the valley. You will preach it in the valley. But if you ascend the mountain, this is what God's servant was sharing yesterday. You will not add anything. It's the same thing, but different approach now. Different possibility. Different capacity to affect lives. Because the place where it is echoed from matters. But how can we ascend that mountain? There is one criteria. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand upon his holy mountains? He that has a clean heart and a pure heart, that has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. You know, Satan can avoid your hand, avoid your heart. You would think that you are still working with God, but your soul must have been polluted by vanity. And that is part of the corruption that prohibits too many people from ascending the mountains of the Lord. Because it is where your treasure is. That's where your heart will be also. Satan will make you. For this encounter to count, we will need to secure our various visitations with prayer. Because for many of us, you have waited for this for a long time, and so it has to count. Maybe we pray for the next 2 minutes wherever you are, please. Just ask the Lord, isolate me. Separate me for an encounter. Come for me, Holy Ghost. Come for me. Come for me. Me. Separate me for a touch. Came by prayer. Go ahead and pray.
When I leave this world, I will go in prayer.
I came by prayer.
Are you praying where you are?
I will stay in prayer.
I fell asleep.
Just pray, just pray, just pray. I came by prayer. I'll stay in prayer. When I leave this world, I will go in prayer. I came by prayer. I'll stay in prayer. When I leave this world, I will go in. I came by prayer. I will stay in prayer. When I leave this world, I will go in prayer.
I came by prayer.
I came by prayer.
I will stay in prayer.
I will stay in prayer.
When I leave this world,
when I leave.
Hallelujah. Please, you may be seated. God bless you. Before
apostle comes, for those of us who have determined in our hearts that this weekend must count for something, this is why we do what we do. In the light of the things I'm sharing, before I call up God's servant, Pastor Caleb David, I want to share something with us that I believe will help us align and angulate our soul properly. The flesh I speak about, which has its unique tendency, its unique manifestation based on the kind of compromise that has prospered in the bloodline thus far. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, when man fell, God showed up and began to allot various judgments to the parties that played a role in the fall of man. And when it came to Satan, the serpent, God looked at the serpent and addressed him this way. He says, "Dust you will eat for the rest of your days, and on your belly you will continue to go." In Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, the Bible says, God formed man of dust, not from dust. God formed man of dust and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. So the first kind of man, the first entity that was achieved was man of dust, not from dust. It is projected, man of the dust. And so God, at this level, God knew that this man of dust will just live only gratifying hormonal demands, living for how he feels for the moment. Anything that is not convenient, he doesn't do it. No difference between him and an animal, because the animal only lives gratifying hormonal demands. So God put a superior life, a breath upon him. That life now governs, gives him the capacity to go against even his bodily needs if it contradicts the law of that superior government. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 19, when man fell, God came back and looked at this one that was once of dust, that they made him a living soul, because they say he became when the breath entered him. So he has changed from man of dust into a living soul. But at Genesis chapter 3 verse 19, he had lost the same thing that was powering him because he fell. That was the fall. When God showed up in Genesis 3 verse 19, God says, "Dust you are, and to dust you will return." You have lost that responsible for a superior life you were operating with. You have returned back to the man of dust arrangement. Now that you are dust, it is dust you will return to. In the light of this, in Genesis 3:14, God said to the serpent, "Dust you will eat for the rest of your days." We all know that snakes don't eat sand. So the dust God is not sand. The dust is reflective of a type of man. That man that is only powered by the flesh. That fleshy man. The one that has no spiritual life that is powering him from the inside. It is biological life he has. Even goats have that life too. God did not breathe into any fish. He didn't breathe into any cattle. He didn't breathe into any bird. Yet they are alive. The life they have is biological life. And this is that dust we speak about. It will only support the things that are self-centered to it. Anything that is not convenient, it has no business in it. But when God says, "Dust you will eat to serpent," he didn't leave us without hope. Because he added a clause to that agreement. He says, "On thy belly shalt thou go." Meaning, you will have capacity to afflict, to relate, to communicate, to connect with anybody who is still around dust operation. Any man who lives his life from the model of dust man, you will have access to him. You can continue to do fellowship with them. But you will operate from a defeated position. So on your belly, you will go. And the day man realizes who he is, you will have no power over him anymore. So on your belly shall thou go. Then he returned to the other end and began to vocalize streams of knowledge, because the predicament now is my people perish for lack of knowledge. They don't know who they are. can master territories. You can pray your way into different streams of gifts. You can operate in mighty display of the miraculous. And you can still be a slave of the flesh. Because that government there, if a spirit does not enable you, you will continue to do all these things and still become a puppet to the yearning of the flesh. So what was God saying to the serpent? He was telling him, there is a hidden plan that you don't know of. I will empower man once again. That spirit that left him, I will find a way to bring that spirit back. This is the reason for the mission of Jesus. He brought the Holy Ghost back to us. It was to bring that spirit component that was missing in Project Man. Jesus was going to bring that spirit back. And the only way to bring the spirit is to meet the claim of divine justice. So somebody must take the blame for this issue that has happened. Now we have the Holy Ghost. We read the story and we say, "Car, Adam messed up." But what we do with the Holy Ghost is worse than what Adam did now. How we handle the Holy Ghost is worse than what Adam did in the moment where he too was tempted. If you were the Adam, creation would have been bastardized beyond what Adam brought us to. May I not be fake? May I not be fake? I carry the Holy Ghost. May I not be fake? This power that I have, this might in my spirit, I will use it for you. I will use it for you. This power that I have, this might in my spirit, I will use it for you. May I not be fake?
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 I carry the Holy Ghost.
I carry the Holy Ghost.
May I not be fake?
May I not be fake?
God says, Satan, you use this particular point of man, this dimension of him, his flesh. Because what he brought to Eve was a tree that is pleasant to the eyes, good for food, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And this is what the summary of the lust of this world is. The apostle says, all that is in this world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So to Eve, it was a summation of the totality of the full weight of lust that came. It was not one temptation. Inside that one tree, that one fruit, it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes. It was good for food, the lust of the flesh. A tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. So you will sit down one place and say, "Well, why couldn't she do?" It was the full weight, all the flavor of possible temptation was merged. Satan thought about Eve before he plotted that weapon. You know, the scripture says, no weapon formed or fashioned with you in mind. It was, they looked at you, they studied you, they know the things you like. They have studied your grandfather. They know what is the peculiar need in your family. So they don't waste their time testing many temptations on you. They know where every man in that lineage falls. The day you will prove that you are of a different stock is when you are able to conquer the battles that your ancestors fell for. It's not when you are charting just a new course. You too, you will face the same Goliath that brought many down. Until you can prevail over the things that brought ancestors down, you cannot start a new altar. There are so many of us here before the servant of God comes. While we are battling witches, wizards, demons, enemies, the real enemy is the flesh. Satan has a door through it. You have not shut that gate yet. You continue to allow, you will rise like an edifice. Satan will crash you down through the flesh. Hey, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The Bible says such a man should not expect anything valuable from the Lord. This up today, down tomorrow life. This hot today, cold tomorrow life. You can't handle any inheritance in God that way. Because he said, such a man should not expect anything valuable. This is why we fast. This is why we wait. We fast because there is an economy trying to find expression through the flesh. Another prophecy. There is a written code. Dust he will eat. So inside your flesh, there is a prophecy about your ordination in darkness. Darkness has your role too. There is a great work you can do for them. It is hidden inside the code of your flesh. In your spirit, there is another ordination of Zion. So at the end of your life, you must have fulfilled purpose. It's just a question of which kingdom's purpose did you fulfill? Because inside your flesh is another program, another written code of what this life should achieve in the light of God's ability fashioned in your inside. The flesh came with his own program. And if you are not careful, you'll be oscillating between the flesh and the spirit. Today you'll be spiritual. Tomorrow you'll be in the flesh. And God says, that kind, you should not expect anything valuable. The flesh has spirituality too. This is how terrible this matter is. The flesh has spirituality. He has a way to present himself as holy. If you see the flesh's dress code, it was that thing that was mastering the scribes and the Pharisees. They were more interested in what people would say, how people perceive them, and they didn't know the God. They had a form of godliness. They have denied the power. This is unfortunately what Satan hopes to master a generation, because outwardly, we will look like we are invincible. People will even be meeting you, asking you questions about things you are a victim of, and they think you have mastered it, and you will have the impetus to send them on fasting errands. And say, why don't you wait on God for 7 days and call me after the 7 days? The person speaking is a prisoner. Demons have him under lock and key. Yet, he sends people on fasting errands. The flesh. You see, this thing we are speaking about, the flesh, is older than you. The strongest of men, it's also mastered them. God gave wisdom to a man such that no one has walked in. The flesh still mastered him. At the end of his days, he began to give advice from his mistakes. Don't assume you know yourself. There are things contained inside your flesh. It will take certain atmosphere to reveal your true identity to you. This is why God will stop your feet from entering some places, because your flesh will take another form when you enter those places. You don't know you are proud yet until something enters your account. You just realize that your voice changed. You began to be sensitive to respect, and you were normal before. These are part of the things we will war against. This is why we fast. Satan cannot send us on fasting errand. We fast because we want to keep a nature detained. We could sense that there is something trying to negate the prophecies of God for our life. So we put our body under. If the flesh is a disease that will never be cured. You will need to be taking drug regularly. Just be taking till you die. And part of the drug is the scripture. You will go and behold. Behold every night, because if you skip one drug, just one, like malaria treatment, you take morning, take afternoon, take night. Skip that night and see how malaria will become powerful again. It was waiting. In fact, the average West African has a deposit of malaria in his bloodstream. The only time he is sick is when the quantity now becomes too much, but he has always been carrying malaria. The flesh is alive. You detain him the day you give him small freedom. Jesus. You will find yourself going contrary to the things your mouth spoke about. That is a sign that inside the flesh, this is what Satan eats. This one is loyal to Satan. This is why Jesus introduced the concept of feet washing. That when you go out into your day, there is a part of you that has contact with the dust. When you return, wash your feet. That is symbolic of the same thing John was doing. He was immersing men into water until the water swallows them. Because when you go out and you come back, there's a layer of dust that will accrue, that will settle upon your shoes or on your feet. You return and you didn't attend to it. Sin is first an atmosphere before it becomes an action. Those kinds of little sediments, somebody, a music, a sound, a video, a conversation that was heard, they will begin to compound. Before you know, an action will become the product of certain things that was not addressed. This is why we study the word of God judiciously. We are not studying it to look for a message. Because if we don't behold, something will still happen. You can be conformed. There is a kingdom that puts different patterns and pathways of confirmation on different parts of your life. So the moment you wake up, there's already different things that can conform you to the way of this world. This is why we look at scripture deliberately, because you are either being conformed or you are being transformed, but you can never remain the same. By the end of today, you will not remain the way you woke up. You will either be conformed or you transformed. This is the problem with this thing. There is nobody that is standing still. By the end of these 24 hours, you must have conformed more into darkness or you have been transformed more into light. So you are only going to choose to what direction would this change happen. It was one of the patriarchs that said, this book, speaking about the Bible now, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. If you look at it, continue to stay there. I have found out it's a powerful truth. Any day you begin your day with a good, healthy devotion and you study the word, you will ride on eagle's wings that day. There is a strength that came from that, just looking at the word. Now I'm trying to tell you, apart from what you do at night, in the morning, don't sleep without studying the word. All the corruption, all the sediment of dust that have attempted to settle on you, wash before you rest. When you wash before you sleep, your chances of engaging encounters are very high. But the things we speak about is the flesh. The number two, battle a man must confront if he must answer the call of ordination, is the darkness. This one is not inherent. It's not inside. It's not follow come. It is waiting in the environment, the ecosystem you were going to manifest in. There are different installations kept on ground to make sure that it will be hard. No matter the light you have inside, the purpose of this darkness is to cover you. In Isaiah chapter 60 verse 2, the Bible says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Isaiah was so accurate because Joel collaborated that statement. He says in Isaiah 62, behold, the darkness will cover earth. So there is a first layer of darkness that has no business with men. It only came for territory. It will cover the earth. It came for geography. It came for spaces. It came for, you know, colonizing a particular jurisdiction. It didn't come for men. It is only men who can prevail over the excuse of their territory. They are the ones that another package of darkness will be prepared for, called cross darkness. That cross darkness, that's the first time Satan knows your name. All this while he does not know you. He's not the one tempting you. You are only falling for the program of your environment, because they set up a kind of darkness that masters only territory. Many people say, the devil tempted me. And the devil say, I don't even have your time yet. You are a victim of the prevailing iniquity of your space. There are places where, we travel a lot every week. There are places you go to. We were in Akwa Ibom with you last week. From the airport, you will know that you are not in the north. Nobody will tell you. As you are heading towards those places, the length of skirt is going up like this. The more you are going, you are leaving the north and going far like that. You will reach a point where, even in church, the way they are dressed, because of the ruling culture, is no longer wrong in their eyes, because it's normal. You who came from the north, you will now be saying, but what is happening? Is the Holy Ghost inside them? Jesus will have to assure you that, do what I sent you here. Don't judge anybody. The person who will come and lead worship, you will see her, she will raise her hand like this. Everything is outside. The brothers, they are okay. They have lived on that darkness that covers the earth since they were born. That one is to cover the earth, so that if anything gives you your specific place of manifestation, because in the matter of ordination, territory is part of it, location is part of it. You can't manifest anywhere. There are people you are sent to. Your message is for a particular people, and until you are able to isolate that particular detail as to who am I sent to, they will go and be talking. You think you are making noise because the message is not for them. There are too many people that the one thing they need now is to just ask the Lord, where was I sent to? There are people that will dishonor you. They are not bad. They are not evil. The fact is that they don't need what you are telling them. They are not the ones you were sent to. Because of the flesh, the flesh says all road leads to Abuja, Port Harcourt, Lagos. So sometime last year, I was minding my business, and one of these churches in the United States sent me a mail. And they've listened to some of my tapes, and the elders have sat together. And congratulations first. Congratulations. No, why are you clapping? Relax. So I began to think, congratulations. They said, so they just lost their general overseer, but the board of elders decided that the president, that he wants to come and take over the work and continue. And everything is set. It's me. I should pray about it. You know, if it's you, you will not pray. That is an open, Pastor John, you are my witness. That's an open door. It's like, the first thing you now do is that, I never knew that you would answer me this way, oh God. When Satan resists you, and cannot find an occasion, your sin will no longer be good or bad. Your sin will be lack of alignment. The ark will want to fall like this. You will use good intention to want to help God, then you will die. That's how Satan kill good men. When he look for, he search your garment, they can't find the stain. He will tell you that, why can't you do this for God? God is in short supply of men. Stand up and defend God. Then you will stand, and the laws of God will say, I can't tolerate this. The temptation of a good man is a good thing. If I left this space, I knew it was not of God. I didn't need to pray about it. You see, my message is only as powerful as I'm in my ecosystem, the place they sent me to. The moment you leave here, maybe the first service I will hold there, the white men will first be sleeping first. Me, I'll be talking about the height. Then they'll have another meeting. You see, are we sure we heard God on this matter? Your authority is only as much as you remain in your ecosystem. A shark is only strong in the water. Carry it out. Let him out of pride argue with a monkey. And the monkey say, let's have a tournament on the tree. The shark has lost from the beginning. Remain where God kept you. This is what Daniel knew. Even when the captivity was over and people were running home with joy, Daniel knew that there was an assignment. He said, my place is here. We know that they will come, they will travel from far and wide, they will come from Europe, they will travel, they will come here. They will come here. We just need to burn bright enough. We will go from a candle, because the first place you will light is a candle. We will go from a candle into a bonfire. If we confront these two installations, I can guarantee you that there is nothing the devil can do to stop our manifestation. First, the installation of the flesh, and then the darkness that covers. When we go past darkness that covers the earth, come out of your door in the morning. Just look around your vicinity. You'll be able to pick out. You'll be able to itemize the ruling infirmity, the particular sin that is predominant in your space. When you enter a space, the keepers of those spaces and the watchers in darkness, their first objective is to conform you to the shape of that space. So if you come in as a pillar of holy purity, when you enter that space and it is a space that has immorality as the norm, the first objective of the spirits that are responsible for that government is to conform you to the shape of that space. When you resist that shape, and the resistance is not by mouth, it is by nature, you refuse to conform, then they'll come into a new plan. It is to cut you off. It is that resisting that shape that gives you an identity in the camp of darkness. It is only then demons can say, Paul, I know. They don't know you all this while, because normally there is a darkness that just covers the whole territory. It is those who are able to resist that tide. When they move against it, insisting on righteousness, then their head pierces through the canopy of darkness. Then they become visible. Visible. That Satan can now say, who is this one? Because you have stood out. That's where they now know your name. That's the first time they will now enter into a lab to prepare a weapon with you in mind. It is at that time also heaven will allocate support for you quickly, because you have, through the small strength they gave you, you have conquered something that other men fell for. So they know that they are preparing something with this servant in mind. They will also go and prepare support for you. It is at that time when Satan is trying to concoct something that will cut you off completely. God too will begin to network strategic kingdom relationships. You will sit down like this, and God will be putting your thought in people's mind. Pray for my son. You know what he's doing? He is forming an army around you, because they have declared war. The intention is, we wanted you to be fake, we wanted you to still stand on the pulpit, but be something in the secret, and you refuse. So you have been banished. That idea of banishing you is to discredit you. You know, like I said in the beginning, the devil don't know many of us. And if Satan don't know you, how can heaven even know you? No identity in the realm that matters. We must prevail over the excuse of our generation. Others may, but I cannot. You can continue to say, but you know, be firewood. Everybody is doing it. You are not called into that, because your true ordination will never manifest until you insist. You may fall, because you see the things I'm saying now. I know somebody is just feeling offended by saying, are you trying to say that we are perfect? You can't. In fact, you were commanded to be perfect. He says, be ye perfect. It's another teaching that is trying to accommodate the carnal nature of the flesh, saying it's not easy. So from time to time you will fall, but once you fall, make sure you get up quickly, huh? Then everybody say yes. So don't spend more than one day on the ground. Do you hear me? They say yes. So a brother fell for immorality, and he came with a beveled voice to me. You know, there are voices that you know there's no repentance yet. He came saying, sir, it's not easy, any kind of pressure. So I could still feel pleasure inside his voice. There's no sorrow. It's not easy. So well, in a nutshell, it happened, but I don't want to bore you with the details. The person that is talking, there is still condom in his wallet. You see, they already know you. They already have certain level of premonition about what you are capable of doing, but they don't know much. In the light of the suspicion they have about you, they marshal a particular temptation that would keep you under lock and key. This is what the mystery of addiction is. Addiction is the operation of something. They want to be barbing your hair regularly, because they know that the hair of something will grow again. So they need a kind of sin that is compatible with your loss, so that they don't need to be putting themselves through much stress before you will have to be doing that regularly, so that the hair will not grow. There are people here, Satan shave you every week. Every week. Your hair will grow for 3 days, you will shave. It will grow your hair for 1 week. By 7 days, he will shave you. There's a barber, a spiritual barber. The clipper they use for you is inside your bedroom. They kept it there. They said, no need to carry it from here, because we do this barbing regularly. You will stay like this. Sometimes you will try. You will enter 9 days. You will start feeling the motion of the movement of the power of God on your life, because the anointing insists on you. You can even use the anointing and fight God, and not even God will stop you until you meet in judgment.
Then they will give account for how you use what was given. The parable of the talent, they could not talk about anything until the master met them at the end. The master did not influence how they use it. He only was interested in gain. You can use God's power to fight God. You can go against God with the anointing. And since the economy you are using came from him, you will cause damage in the camp of God. Because the resource you are spending from it is the weapon only God's use. You had access to it. You deployed it negatively. These are how people with influence, it's a grace, it's on your life. You start leading a generation to hell because you chose to live for yourself. You press small. See, there are people here, I know today is for you. You tarry small, you can already see spiritual giftings begin to pop out. Just because you fasted for one day, another person is somewhere waiting on God for 1 month. He didn't see anything. You, if you just stay consistent for only 1 week, suddenly your eye will open. You will see this. You will leave that one, enter flesh again for another 2 months. Return back again. After 2 days, your hair grows. This is why Satan is particular about some people, because he has a premonition. He has seen the motion of God around you. He will not allow you to have any free course. If you have known that, why is Satan interested in my life? Why is Satan so particular about keeping me glued to an altar of sin? Why are you now living as though we are not at war? Because it will take warfare for you to now prevail. If in 1 week, in 2 weeks, something like that can pop open, imagine who you will be. You will be journeying the corridor of consecration for 1 year. Circumspectly before God. Pure. When you wake up, angels will be excited. A mighty captain is at war again. If you enter any territory, God has entered the territory. It's not everybody that can host God in the same way. We were designed differently. There are people that were given unique capability to bear the holy oracle of God. So if they get born again today, you will see someone who was born again 7 years ago. You will think that the access given to them, the capacity of things they can carry. We refuse to be fake. Refuse it. This is the temptation of this generation. Look like it, talk like it, sound like it, but please don't be it. Secretly, let's just be together, but you can be pretending like you are with God openly. The devil will help you cover your sin. He will cover it so that you'll be doing damage from the altar. Everybody who listens to you, they will become victims of the corruption that flows from your brook. We will need to pray tonight. Our prayer is so simple. It's a purging we want. After conferences like this, our life must shift. After conferences like this, there must become a sign in our life, something we can hold on to and say, this rising and falling pattern ended. I looked into my vessel. I knew that many a man have journeyed in corridors of different kinds of sin, because there are follow-up tendencies. You don't even need to lie to yourself if you see the kind of movement. This is why I don't have much friends. I don't keep any girlfriend. There is no bestie in my life. No girl can say we are close. Never. It's part of this. This one is not a doctrine. It's consecration, and you can't teach it, because I already know that I am like a cat. There are things you cannot give a cat to keep for you. She's my best friend. Somebody's wife. We are BFFs. Best friends forever. What you are doing is that you are making Satan's work easy. Any day he's bored and he needs to just distract himself, he'll just remember your case. I say, these two people that are always close, even without my help, what if I now do something to initiate something more? You know, I'm sorry to go into an African proverb. The elders from the tribe from whence I came from, they have one parable. They say in the language, they say what it translates to, they say man and woman cannot be friends. Why the elder said that is that it's after many years of observation. There's so many cases. Then they say, we want it to be known. Hey. Can somebody pray wherever they are? I refuse to be fake. I refuse to be fake. I refuse to be fake. Lord, rid my soul of corruption. Baptize me with fire. I insist on holy purity. I burn fervently for God. Everything that mocks the ordination of God for your destiny, everything that stands resisting your consistency in God, can somebody intentionally cry? You must pull down mountains, you must pull down everything that hinders your spiritual progress. What has Satan installed? What has Satan installed on the path of your spiritual progress? Pull it down. Lord, my mind. It continues to meditate on corruption. Sanctify us through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Holy Ghost, I don't want to fail you. I don't want to fail my generation. I know the season of my manifestation is at hand. The moment of my appearing has come. But I cannot rise yet. Because there are burdens in iniquity that keeps us down. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand upon his holy mountains? How can you blow that trumpet until you ascend?
I carry the Holy Ghost.
Go ahead and cry. Go ahead and cry.
To God, we trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anacazomissioninternational.ami or join us on our Telegram channel at Anacazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.